Amen. Amen. Sure appreciate what we've heard go before. They took 20 and 20, so that means I get the 50-minute. Is that right? Isn't that what you said? Just kidding. Certainly appreciate the brothers being mindful of the time, and we will certainly do that also. We will not select the 50-minute sermon this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to John 5, I want to read to you as a text as we bring our meeting to a close this morning, although we do look forward to one of the ordinances being exhibited here shortly for Sister Jessica, so that will continue in worship, I know. But as we conclude the preaching part of this meeting, let me just say what a blessing it's been. I believe Brother Lee said this morning at breakfast, we can't understand how it gets better and better, but it does, and that's how good God's mercy and grace is in renewing himself to us. John, the 5th chapter, let's begin reading in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these porches, or porticos, lay a great multitude of impotent, powerless folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I want to speak to you in the remaining time this morning on waiting for the moving of the water. I've been thinking about this sermon for a number of months. I try to pray in advance on what to share the different times we come and go different places. And specifically here at McClenny, I had this on my mind for some time. So pray for me that the Lord will bless in these few minutes to bring out some thoughts about it. I want to ask the question, are we waiting for the moving of the water? Now, first of all, let's get the setting here. The location that we have is a pool, a porch, and a pitiful, powerless people. Pitiful. I don't know if you young guys are like my kids, but anytime we go and stay in a hotel, one of the first questions we get is what? Do they have a pool? Do they have a pool? And that's one of the things that's always on my kids' mind. And I want you to think in terms of the setting here this morning that we're looking at. The location is a pool, and I mean a nice pool. I did a little bit of research on how this would have appeared, and this would have been a structure that was definitely most likely tiled and just beautiful, and it would have been a natural pool that had been would have set this pool in a location where a spring would have fed it. And they might have, you know, used some tunneling and such to, you know, make the water come to this location. But it's a beautiful setting with 5 porches. Now, don't think about a southern porch, you know, made out of wood and such. This was actually what we would know as a portico. If you want to know I actually did a little research on porticos. I'm not an architect or I never have really been interested in that. But it was interesting reading that porticos in the past were these pillared areas that had shelter over them. And it was a place where people, if it was near a restaurant, and you might see some of these remnants of these in Europe in different countries, but it was a gathering place for people. It was shelter from the wind. It was shelter from the rain, shelter from the storms, and even the sun. And so these porticos with these ornate columns holding up the structures, there were 5 of these. That's interesting. There was not just one, because apparently there was a lot of gathering that took place at these porticos. And if you think like my kids do, you can maybe understand a little while. Everybody wanted to go to the pool. And so they had this nice tiled pool, which probably was about 6 feet across and maybe 10 or 12 feet long. Not a very large pool, if you think in terms of the size of a pool. But this was a specific pool that was known as the Pool of Bethesda near the sheep market, which is also significant. And here we find a pitiful people gathered here. Pitiful. So if you can imagine parents taking your kids to some nice hotel and they want to go swimming at the pool, and they get their swim shorts on and they go running down there to jump in the pool, and here's all these nasty people laying around, sick, leprous, cancer, crippled, blind, wandering around, feeling their way. You wouldn't want to get in that water. That's the scene that we have before us here at the Pool of Bethesda. Hundreds of people, hundreds gathered round. And the 99% of these people are powerless people. And they are blind, unseeing people. They are halt, which means lame. And they are also withered. It says it lay a great multitude, hundreds of people laid out in these porticos, and they've all got their attention on one thing, and that's the pool. And I hate to tell you, kids, but there weren't any little children swimming in this pool. Now, I've wondered about this pool for a number of years just in thinking logistically and realistically about how this played out, and did a little bit of research on that, and I offer this thought. I don't know if it was this way or not. But there is some belief that this particular pool was fed by a spring that was within the mountain. And this spring did not, the thought is, one of the thoughts is that this spring did not always flow. That it would bubble up from time to time. If that is the case, and we think in terms of a pool having water in it, and it says that the pool was troubled at certain times, it would make sense to think that this pool was maybe down to a few inches in its depth. It was probably 4 or 5 feet deep, and it's just got a little bit of water in the bottom, and then whenever the spring begins to bubble or stir, the water begins to bubble up, it begins to fill up, and the first person in this pool, if it was this particular season, when the angel came down and stirred the water, well, you can imagine them standing there and just waiting for the water to come on up. Maybe there's 20 people in the pool, but it was just so happens the first one in there is the one that says, I'm healed, you know, when the water comes up to a certain level. I don't know that it's that way or not, but it's interesting to think about. So they start seeing the pool being agitated. It begins to flow up and begins to fill up like you would fill up a bathtub, and all these people go piling in there. It's not comical, but you probably watch some YouTube videos about, America's funniest videos and things like that. You think about people stumbling around and falling around, and I'm not trying to say that it's comical, but you can imagine what chaos it was, especially when the blind people started filling their way towards the pool and walk, just plop in there by not even realizing where they are. There's nobody apparently leading each other around. One of the reasons I think the case is because this was a high day. This was a Sabbath day. And so all of the spiritual people, all the religious people were off worshiping God. They weren't going to have anything to do with these nasty folks gathered down by the pool of Bethesda. Let them fend for themselves. As a matter of fact, we encounter one man here in a moment who was also waiting for the moving of the water, and he had no man to put him in. Whatever friends or so-called friends had dropped him off there had just left him there and said, now you fend for yourself, buddy. And that is almost comically ironic, sadly ironic, because this man is paralyzed. You fend for yourself. You put yourself in. He's paralyzed. He can't even move. I could see this poor guy at one point in the years trying to crawl, pull himself by his hands to get into the pool. And all the people are crowded in the pool. There's no room left in the pool. And after a few minutes when the pool fills up and the water's agitated by the angel, somebody says, I'm healed. And he thinks, oh, I'll have to wait again till next year. Wait for the moving of the water. What a sad state. Do we in our own experience, in our own lives, can we identify with that? And do we know whether it's us or other people that we know that seem powerless and unseeing and lame in their walk? And the word withered means dried up. I thought of the word that Brother Michael used, burn out. They're just burnt out. They're dried up. They're withered. And they're waiting for some moving of the water to get them back involved and moving. You see, the setting here of this pool and these porticos and these pitiful, powerless people just massively laying all through there. They're all focused on one thing, and it's the moving of the water. When is the water going to move? No telling how many days some of them came in advance. Before Christmas, we traveled down to Orlando and went and partook in the new Star Wars ride. And as silly as it sounds and as ridiculous as it is, I told the kids, I said, we're going to get up and we're going to go get in line at 5:30 just to see how many crazy people are there, of which we were some of them, But it made me feel better just by standing there at 5:30 looking around, tired, drinking coffee, and going, look at all these crazy people. It made me feel better. I just came to see the crazy people. I hope I get on, I hope I make it. We came at 5:30 to ride the Star Wars ride, which was pretty awesome, by the way. But can you imagine how many days in advance somebody might drop this poor man off? Drop me off 3 days in advance. I'll find a way to eat. Somebody will drop me a crumb. Maybe you'd get me close enough this year on the porticos. Maybe I could just roll off into the water. How many years did he do that? Long, long time. And here's the issue that's going on here at the pool of Bethesda. It says that in verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. An angel, something supernatural, went down from wherever it came down from heaven or from the Lord, and at a certain season, a certain time of year, and it stirred the water. It moved the water. So whether it was the water bubbling up and something additional began to stir in the water, or whatever the case may be, if the water was there and it just began to swirl all of a sudden, the issue here is an angel, something supernatural, went down at a certain season and stirred or troubled. The word means agitated the water. And the first one to get in, the first one who stepped in was healed. And here is a beautiful picture. Verse 5, it says, a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Could he have been coming to this for 38 years, 30 years? Who knows? And there's someone here. While they were looking for the moving of the water by an angel, the living water was moving among them. I want you to picture that. The moms and the dads go down there. We're going to swim at the sheep market pool today, the pool of Bethesda. Oh, no, there's all these yucky people down there. Well, Jesus goes down in among those yucky people. And I can just picture him there moving through the five porticos, through the porches. He's not looking at the water. He knows all about the water. He's the living water. And he moves among the people, the lepers, among the blind folks, brushing past the different ones with their cancer and with all of their issues and their palsy and their leprosy and the paralytic ones. And he comes to this man, this one man who has absolutely zero chance of getting into the water. And he knows it. That's almost like torture, isn't it? He's laying there looking at the water and thinking, all my answers lie in that water. And yet the living water himself walks up to him. And he's lying there, and Jesus saw him lie, verse 6, and he knew that he had now been a long time in that case. Oh, isn't it good to know that Jesus knows what case you've been in, what situation you've been in. You say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That song is such a lie. Because the Lord knows the trouble you've seen. The Lord knows the trouble you've faced. There's nothing new under the sun. And in a much greater way, an infinitely greater way, he has suffered more than anyone ever could suffer. So don't believe the song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. He moves through the crowd. He flows like water through the crowd, making no noise, making no big to-do about his presence there. And he just comes. And remember, all the people are looking at the water. They're looking at the pool. And there goes Jesus, just making his way through the crowd. And he comes to the man. And he knew how long he had been in that case. And he says, wilt thou be made whole? Lord, our Lord asked a lot of questions. Not because he didn't know the answers. Because he likes to hear what we have to say. Now, let's make sure what we have to say is a pleasing remark. He says, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, and he told the truth. He said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Isn't that sad? Well, that's a testimony to how they were pretty much like a modern day America back in those days. There were no gentlemen and there were no ladies, hardly. Everybody just knocking each other out for the me first to get in there. You know, it's all about me. You can't go on the internet and believe for one second that it's not all about me this day and time. And so the man says, another steps down before me. And while all of these people were waiting for the moving of the water, Jesus goes to this man and he pours water on him, if you will. He says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. You know, he didn't say, okay, everybody, get your attention off the pool. Look over here at me. I'm fixing to do something amazing. You know, I'm some kind of faith healer on television. And I'm going to pop him on the head and everything's going to be good. No, he just looks at him and he just says, rise. Just like I'm speaking to you right here. He just says, rise, take up your bed and walk. Amen. And you know what the man does? Immediately he felt strength come into his body. He'd had all of his attention on that pool. Everything waiting for something supernatural to happen and waiting for some angel to come down and watching that water, and the living water comes to him and says, rise and take up your bed and walk. Yeah. You see, he was right there the whole time. Yeah. He was right there. Are we waiting for the moving of the water like this pitiful, powerless people? Are we waiting for something supernatural to come along, some supernatural experience, so then we can say, well, then I'll serve the Lord?
Yeah.
Now, don't discount people that have had some amazing experiences. Yeah. There's a fellow back home who was a dear friend of mine that he doesn't go to church, and he was thrown out of a car in a wreck at 70 miles an hour, and he's still alive. He survived, and he told me an amazing story about an encounter that he had when he was out of it, and I believe every word of it. It doesn't discount an amazing supernatural experience, but as the old preacher said, you know, that's not the habit in which the Lord usually works. You know, the spiritual moving of that water, the supernatural moving of that water, that wasn't the habit of the Lord. He didn't do that every day. It was just at a season. Child of God, are we waiting for the moving of the water? When waiting for an angel, something supernatural to come down and some incredible experience to prepare us and get us ready to make our mark and do our thing, when the angel of his presence has already saved us, the angel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come down from heaven and he has already done something amazing and supernatural. Not only has he paid for your sins, risen from the grave, but he's born again your heart. He's given you a new spirit within and you have something supernatural. You have God within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then somebody's just waiting for that supernatural thing to come down. We don't need to be waiting for something to come down. We just need to do as the scripture said, Jesus said himself, look up, for your redemption draws nigh.
That's right.
He's there. And then there's people that are waiting for a certain season so that they can get it just right, so that they'll be able to serve God. And I think of Luke 14 and 16, where there were excuses, excuses, excuses. Jesus said the man had prepared his feast, and they went out to one, and the one guy said, oh, I can't come, I got to go look at some property. Like the property was going to go anywhere, right? He had a good excuse. I got to go check out some new land that I just bought. It might run away. And then the other guy, he says, why don't you come to the feast? And he said, it's not my season. It's not my time. I've got this yoke of oxen that I've got to go try them out. And that feast probably would have been on the Sabbath day. And he'd have been breaking the law to do that. But I love the last guy, Brother Mike. He is a true, honest man that I could spend some time with. You talk about a good excuse. You know, he just comes and shrugs his shoulders. He says, man, I got a wife. I can't make it. I love it. That guy was honest, wasn't he? I just can't lie, you know. I got a wife. Not going to be there. Still an excuse, though. He could have brought his wife, see? But they're waiting for a certain season. And the Word of God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to serve God. Now is the time to declare whose side you were on. And then are we waiting for our water to be stirred? Waiting for somebody or something else to come along and stir it up so that we could finally say, okay, it's time for me. It's time for me. A lot of people only learn from the school of hard knocks, the school of tragedy. Isn't that sad? I've seen people make progress in their spiritual walk throughout life, and they only make progress when they hit a brick wall. I tell you what, that's a hard way to live. That's a hard way to learn. There's a better way to learn, and it is to not wait for your water to be stirred, but look and see that the living water out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, because the living water has already stirred your water.
Amen.
Instead of focusing on that pool and waiting for some supernatural angel to come down and stir that water so I can get what I need and my life can begin again, the living water is already there. And the man truthfully said, in his own experience, there's no man. And yet standing before him was the man Christ Jesus. There is a man. There is a man. And his name is Christ Jesus. And he's right there. And we're too often like Elisha's servant who cried out and said, Master, we're surrounded. We don't have a prayer. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And the servant looked up, and lo and behold, round about the army of the enemy was the army of God in flaming chariots. Oh, he is surrounded by 10,000s of God's angels. And not only that, the captain of the Lord of hosts, who is Jesus Christ. Several years ago, we were on a trip to Washington, D.C. You know, you do think a little bit crazy whenever you're a Christian, when you're a child of God. It's okay to think a little bit crazy. Little off the wall kind of thinking. And this is what I remember about this trip that we took to D.C. Our senator at that time was Senator Jeff Sessions. He's actually running for Senate again now after he spent some time as Attorney General. And I went to school with Jeff's Senator Sessions' daughter in college, and so known him for a number of years. Years ago when I was playing music, we actually played some music at his first Senate victory party back in the 90s. So Senator Sessions thinks of me, he associates me with music. I'm going to be that way until he leaves this world. He's going to think of Brother Tim. He thinks of Tim, and he thinks of music. So I don't sing the music like the genre of music that I used to. So I thought, I know Senator Sessions is going to ask me something about music when we go up there and see him, because we always go visit our senators and our representatives. And so I had a plan. And there were several in my own family that said this was a crazy plan. Well, you got to think a little bit crazy sometimes as a Christian. So we went to his office, and I had four of our girls who were singing a cappella music. I had them prepared. They were going to sing a song for Senator Sessions, which I know him. He'd love it. Now, the rest of the crowd that was with us and the four girls might not love it, but I knew it was the right thing to do. They just couldn't see it yet. So here we are moving through the porticos and the places in the Capitol, and we go to Senator Sessions' office. He's not there. Well, where is he? We'd like to see him. Well, go on over there to the Democratic restaurant. He's a Republican, but he was eating with the Democratic representative there in the restaurant right next to the vice president's office, making some deals, working on some compromises and such. So here we go. Everybody's going, I don't know about this. So we make our way over there, and right outside the vice president's office, Vice President Biden at that time, we waited and we waited and we waited, and the girls were nervous. And finally, Senator Sessions comes out, and there's media in there. They're videoing, talking, doing the different things that they do. You know, there's a din of noise going on. And how you doing, Senator Sessions? Good to see you. We visit, we catch up. I say, Senator Sessions, we got something for you. We're right out there in the little area, in the little waiting area outside the vice president's office, outside the restaurant. I said, we got something for you, Senator. Well, let's hear it. He knew what's coming. And so right there outside of the vice president's office, I led the girls. They sang. I just got them started. And I led the girls in singing two verses to Amazing Grace, the old tune, in the Capitol. And as they began to sing in their beautiful voices, you could just feel everybody kind of die down. And some looked in fear. Can they do that? Well, whether they can do it or not, they did it. And our senator just sat there, and he just soaked it up. And after we finished, he said, we need a lot more of that in this place. And I thought to myself, of all the things that were going on in Washington that day, you say, this may sound self-centered. Well, you can think what you want. I'm trying to look up about this. But of all the things that were going on in Washington, D.C. that day, of all the things that our president was doing at that time, of all the things that the vice president were doing, of all the deals that were being made and the laws that were being discussed and the wars that were being fought regarding those laws, do you suppose that our God in heaven might have looked down and listened and thought about what those girls were doing there as they sang praises to his name in our Capitol? I wonder what God's attention was really on that day. Sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? Or does it ring true to the child of God? Amen. You see, it pays for us to come to the Word of God and see the crowd looking and waiting for somebody to stir their water whenever Jesus is right there. He's walking through the crowd. I've said this many times in counseling those that were disturbed and hurting. When you feel that emptiness and when you don't know where to look and you don't know what to do, look to the empty place on your right. And then look to the empty place on your left. And then look to the empty place right above your head. And what you do not see there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. The words of the hymn, dark and thorny is the desert through which pilgrims make their way. But beyond this veil of sorrows lie the fields of endless day. Fiends loud howling through the desert make them tremble as they go, and the fiery darts of Satan often bring their courage low. Oh, young soldiers, are you weary of the troubles on the way? Does your strength begin to fail you and your vigor to decay? Jesus will go with you. He will lead you to his throne. He who dyed his garments for you and the winepress trod alone. You don't need to wait for something supernatural to come down from heaven, because it already has. You don't need to wait for something to come down. You just need to look up. You don't need to wait for a certain season to serve the Lord, because that season is now. It's time to serve the Lord now. Amen. And you don't need to wait for your water to be stirred up, because the living water has already stirred you up, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. You think that there's no man? There is a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And although we haven't seen him with our visible eyes this weekend, I believe he's been here.
Amen.
Amen. Love you all.
Amen. 296. Hymn number 296. Okay, here's the order of service now. We're going to continue.